tonight. I'm talking to the vocalist and guitarist with Progressive Death Metalers, Voice of the Soul, Kareem Sheaheb. So, hi Kareem, how are you tonight?
Hi, I'm doing well, how's it going?
Good, yeah, it's all good, thanks, yeah. Okay, so we need to start really by talking about your debut full-length album, Catacombs, which of course has only just been released in Europe. It's got 9 tracks. Can you describe the album for anyone who doesn't know Voice of the Soul and hasn't heard Catacombs yet? Can you tell me a bit about it?
Yeah, sure. Well, Catacombs is interesting because it's a different approach compared to our last EPs in terms of the influences and the way we've written the music and so on. Our last releases were very oriented towards like Swedish melodic death metal, whereas with Catacombs we decided to kind of stick to something that's heavy and melodic, but kind of branch out in terms of our influences. So I think on the album you'll find that each track sort of has different flavor to it,
yeah.
But it all works out together. There are some tracks where we kind of went back to some Middle Eastern kind of sounding stuff, other tracks where we had some more synths and symphonic stuff oriented in there, and there's even like an interlude which kind of has a lot of ambient influence in there. So that's our take on progressive music, I suppose, with Catacombs.
That's great, yeah. I mean, I noticed some quite distinct piano sort of sounds on a couple of the tracks, and it just, yeah, it sounds really, really great, a nice mixture. So, yeah, great job. Hopefully it's going to spread around Europe and you're going to get more of a fan base, hopefully. Do you know if you've got many fans over in Europe?
Well, we've been getting a lot of reviews for the album from Europe, and they've been mostly positive, which is always great.
Yeah.
And, you know, with our previous EPs, which, you know, were, of course, you know, we got some coverage from Europe, you know, but mostly from small-scale underground websites. But it's kind of cool to see that this album's getting a lot more attention. So we released Catacombs through Hell's Hammer Records, which is the distribution arm of UK Extreme Metal Records. And, I mean, really excited to at least have some sort of presence in Europe now. I always try to reach out to, metal websites and publications in Europe, of course, with our previous EPs. But it seems like they're more interested in us to this album, which is always a good sign, I suppose, right?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And I think any metal band, no matter where they're from, wants to, you know, get a slot in a big European festival or to tour Europe. Because, of course, you know, metal has such a rich history in Europe. And at least in the UK, you know, so many people, their idols are from the UK, you know, we're talking about Sabbath and stuff, right?
Yeah, cool.
So it's really good that we have some sort of formal presence in the form of a release in Europe, you know?
Yeah, okay, we'll get on more about that later as well. But also, the album was released last September in the UAE, which is quite a long gap. So was it sort of just getting it all organised to release it over here? Was it quite a big, you know, a big job?
Yeah, I think that when we're prepping for the initial release, which was in late September of 2014, we were focusing a lot on getting it on the map in the region. And when we were talking with Andrew from Future PR, who has been such a massive help for us, you know, and we wanted to try and give it some proper presence in Europe, we decided that giving European listeners a proper build up to the album, made sense at the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of course, you know, we're working really hard on slowly building things up, and I think that we prioritized a certain audience over another one. So we took our time with that, and we wanted to make sure that we got the right coverage in Europe if we're going to prepare for a European release. At the time, it seemed kind of weird, but in hindsight, I guess it makes more sense. It was much more logical to do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. So can you tell me a bit about the cover artwork and what that signifies? Because it's quite interesting with the figure and all the sheep on surrounding him. Does that have any particular meaning?
Yeah, what's interesting is that the guy who designed our album art, who's a friend of ours in Dubai, he was inspired by the second song on our album, which is called Pendulum, and it has to do about sort of like, you know, these political cults and social and religious cults and so on. So he's very inspired by the whole cult-like figure and people following them and basically, you know, following them until they die or whatever.
Yeah.
To me, I was very interested by the fact that when you look at the art, you know, it's not the typical, like, oh, there's a religious figure and there are these sheep following the religious figure. I mean, I think that theme is so, like, outdated and everybody's been doing it for the past, like, 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
But it's the idea that he's leading them across a cliff, and the cliff is inside that structure, that temple. And it doesn't have to be a religious temple, you know?
Mm.
So for me, it's interesting how, like, it just kind of ties in, not just, you know, religion, but just politics and just the norm, you know, the concept of sticking to the norm, you know, doing something because that's what it's supposed to be like. And, yeah, I mean, it's kind of dark, but, you know, it's dark artwork, which is great, but at the same time, it's not that kind of, like, cheesy or, it's not cheesy, and it's not something that's been done so many times before, which I think is cool. And it has a new spin on that.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, great. It does look great. Yeah, cool. Okay, so the album was produced by Haddy from Benevolent at his mm-hmm. Haven studio. So how did you come to work with him, and how was the whole recording experience?
Yeah, you know, Haddy and I go back a few years. You know, Benevolent and Voice of the Soul both started out in Kuwait, and we've known each other for quite a while. When he moved to Dubai, you know, he always talked about planning to have his own studio, and you know, we always kept in touch. And after we released our last EP in 2011, we always talked about working together. And I remember, you know, let's see, two summers ago, I started sending him a few riffs, some ideas, and say, check these out, man. You know, and then he really liked them, and we talked about working together. And it was cool because, you know, he was part of the pre-production process as well. So he was involved in making up the album as well, which is very cool. And yeah, the recording process was pretty fun because, you know, Haven Studios is a small studio and, you know, and because, you know, he and I have, you know, we've known each other for a while and we sort of share a lot of similar ideas on certain things. It was really fun working with him. It was kind of close up and personal sort of thing. It wasn't just kind of like, okay, 5 hours are done. See you tomorrow. You know what I mean? It was very cool. And because he kind of like didn't just record, he was involved and he gave us his feedback and so on. So it was overall a pretty good experience with Heidi.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay. Right. So you've expanded the band a little, as well as yourself and Monish, is it, if I'm saying that correctly? You now have Rudy on drums, who joined last year, and is it Bassem, the bass player? He's with you for the live shows at the moment. So what kind of changes has it made for you with the band?
Yeah, you know, I think the fact that we're living in different places is something that we've adjusted to for quite a while now, at least with me and Monish. But, you know, our last drummer was based in the UAE, and now our new drummer is based in Beirut next to me.
Mm.
And I guess that's okay, but it's nice to have a full lineup, at least in terms of having a drummer on board. Bassem is a good friend of ours who plays another band in UAE, and we met him when he played a show with his band a few summers ago. And, you know, he's really busy because, you know, he writes and he fronts his other band.
Yeah.
But he's always around, you know, he learns our material and he comes and he puts on a great performance live. And he's a good friend, so it's always fun to play with Bassem. But, yeah, Rudy first played with us just last June, actually, in Dubai. And, you know, he's been around since. And we're looking forward to having him, you know, record drums for our next album and to play more shows with us because, it's going to work out perfectly with him, which is great because I think it's been a while since we've had, like, a solid lineup, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so. Cool. So how does it work with you being in different places? You know, you're in Lebanon, aren't you? And, Dubai, and, you know, there's a whole mix. So how do you actually manage to get time together?
It's very tricky, actually, because I think we spend a lot of time talking about, you know, handling, let's say, our social media platforms. You know, we use Skype big time to share musical ideas. We use software like Guitar Pro to share songs that we're working on together. But when it comes to practicing for shows, you know, I kind of follow this motto that my high school band teacher once told me. Basically, practice at home, rehearse together. So we learn, we tighten up all our parts on our own.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when there's a show, whether it's in Beirut or Dubai, whoever has to fly in, we have one or two rehearsals where we just go through the entire set. We know all our parts, and we just nail it on stage.
Right.
You know, so it's just so that way when we're practicing, we know we are 100% tight with our parts. It's not a matter of us kind of like trying to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's much more efficient, and I think it requires much more discipline rather than, you know, practicing every 7 to 10 days or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's definitely a little bit tricky, you know. At the end of the day, you want to kind of just be able to chill with your bandmates and share ideas with them in person. But, I mean, we use technology to our advantage.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Middle East, small country, relatively small place. Time zone is not a big deal. Just an hour, sometimes two, you know. So
yeah,
it all works out.
So it works for you. So that's great. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you see some bands from the States and Europe do that as well. You know, you have like, you know, Obscure at one point had members in Germany and Holland. You had like, you know, Threat Signal, had members in Canada and Texas. And
yeah,
it all works out in the end, I think.
That's the thing, yeah. I mean, with technology these days, it makes things a lot easier, doesn't it, to be in touch, so that's cool.
Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
So you were pretty young when you started Voice of the Soul, so what inspired you, and what kind of bands inspired you to start your own band?
Right, yeah, so I started Voice of the Soul ages ago. I started out when I was 16 years old, and that was just a few years after I started playing. I was in Kuwait at the time, and, you know, Kuwait is relatively conservative in terms of, you know, metal shows and so on. And it was, I mean, it was a very small metal scene, but what happened was that, you know, I used to be, I was basically a bedroom guitarist at the time, just learning songs and so on. But I really liked the idea of writing my own music. And so I tried to find some people who are like-minded musically, and we can just write music together and just have a good time, you know? That was kind of my vision. And then later on, I met Sarge, who runs a small studio in Kuwait as well, but he at the time was kind of like the go-to guy for all the metal and hard rock bands.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a killer producer, and our three EPs were all recorded through Sarge. And so what happened was that, you know, we used Kuwait not as a, our experience in Kuwait was basically, okay, well, we can't play shows, but we can work on writing music and putting out some good material, put them up on, you know, MySpace at the time, and hope we can get exposure and at least, you know, not just sit back and not let the potential go away. So that was Kuwait, really. But yeah, I was into writing music, and I was inspired at the time a lot by, I was inspired by Death. I was inspired by Children of Bodom. You know, I used to be a huge fan of Alexi Laiho and, you know, other Finnish melodic death metal bands like Norther and Kalma and Enciferum and Winter Sun. And, you know, over time I got more into Dark Tranquillity and Arch Enemy and so on.
Yeah.
So I was into Tepco Melodic, and then, you know, I discovered Opeth, and that changed my life forever. So
oh, that's great. Okay. So you've touched on it a little bit, but I'd like to talk about the metal scene in the Middle East, because obviously it's very different over there to Europe and America, and even illegal in some places. So in your view, how is the current situation over there? Are you seeing any changes within the metal scene?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I mean, it depends from country to country, you know. I think a lot of times when we look at the Middle East, we look at it as one big country, but it really differs from place to place.
Yeah.
And, you know, it depends on kind of the atmosphere there. You know, right now, so I think it's getting better overall. I think it kind of has its ups and downs, you know. So I think of Dubai. And, you know, Dubai for a while had this open-air festival that would go even for 2 days sometimes, called the Dubai Desert Rock Festival.
Yeah.
And it brought up bands like Megadeth and Testament and Sepultura, Arch Enemy, Opeth, Motorhead, Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Even got Robert Plant and Muse, you know, like some pretty big bands.
Mm.
Then when the global economic crisis hit, that company went broke and they went elsewhere.
Yeah.
But right now, Dubai, what it's doing is that it's having a lot of club shows, and a lot of bands are starting to look into Dubai as a place to hit before they continue to Asia, because a lot of, you know, when they fly in to go to Malaysia and to India and so on, or anywhere in Southeast Asia, they stop in Dubai for like the 24 hours. So they think, okay, we can play a show in Dubai. So we've seen bands like Obscura, like, stop in Dubai before touring the rest of Southeast Asia. We've seen Chris Hoon, if I pronounce it correctly, from Brazil, perform in Dubai. Vader were supposed to play, but that didn't work out. and other bands have done that. So Dubai is Dubai still has kind of its festival sort of side. Sometimes you see like one-off shows. Like, we've seen Metallica play twice in Dubai. We've seen Iron Maiden play a one-off show. Black Sabbath played just last summer. So I think Dubai is doing okay. But I think in terms of pulling off these big festival shows, it depends whether it sticks to these legendary bands. We're talking like, you know, the big four kind of bands.
Yeah.
Or Sabbath and so on. For example, here in Lebanon had has a big history with the scene here, and you know, you'd have local shows where you'd have like hundreds of people come out, open air festivals where that happens. But you know, with Lebanon, there's a bit of government corruption, despite it being supposedly a semi-democracy that's relatively more liberal socially. You know, we can drink here and so on. Sometimes you have kind of bit of police corruption. They break into clubs and kind of cause some problems because you know, it's easy to mess around with such a small group like metal fans.
Yeah.
As opposed to, let's say, like, you know, like you have like the electronic scene, which is funded by big nightclubs and big sponsors and so on.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. But Lebanon still has its shows, and bands are still pretty active here. And Lebanon went through a bit of a slump period, but I think it's going up right now. Egypt has always had a loyal scene, and they've always had, you know, big shows. So I think it depends, and I think it depends on the political climate.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It might put off bands and so on from playing every now and then.
Yeah, so has it impacted your band very much with you know, getting gigs and so on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in Kuwait, we have only ever played one show in Kuwait. That was back when we were still a very young cover band. It was like a battle of the bands kind of thing when we were teenagers.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we haven't ever got a chance to play a proper show with our original material in Kuwait. And that's kind of how he moved towards Dubai and just decided with his plans and so on. You know, Dubai, we never had a problem playing shows. You know, in Dubai, it's a lot of paperwork to get done, but it always happens.
Yeah.
With Vader, you know, things kind of got messy, and it didn't work out the last minute. But that's generally the rarity, and that's as much as I can say right now.
Yeah.
With Lebanon, we played our first show in Beirut last October, and that went quite smoothly, actually. And it's easy to get a show in Beirut because there are tons of clubs. I mean, they're mostly clubs for like indie bands and electronic bands, but I mean, the whole system is very simple in Lebanon to play a club show, and that went quite smoothly, actually.
Really?
I've heard that Syria is very laid back in certain cities, but you know, there's a civil war there right now, so we can't play Syria. So
no, best to avoid that one. Yeah. Well, let's hope things continue to improve and it gets easier for all the bands, because it's great for all the fans out there. So, and obviously, metal is huge all over the world. So, yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah. Okay. So, you mentioned a little bit about Europe earlier. So, do you have any sort of plans in the sort of near or not too distant future about getting over to Europe and the UK for some touring?
There's nothing confirmed just yet, but we're working hard on connecting with certain people. You know, we're knocking on doors with different organizers and promoters and trying to work something out.
Mm.
But once things are confirmed and once there's some proper progress, we'll definitely be updating on our Facebook pages and our Twitter account and so on. But yeah, we've been working on Europe. You know, there's a lot of regional bands which are starting to play in Turkey and in the Balkans. It's quite easy to get a tour sort out there.
Yeah.
But of course, we'd love to play in the UK. You know, a few metal bands in Reed have already, you know, played the Bloodstock, like Nerve Cell and Scarab.
Yes.
And you know, there's some bands like, for example, Nerve Cell toured with Suffocation in the UK, for example. I think it was Morbid Angel. I don't remember, but you know,
yeah.
The point is, there's already been some regional bands playing in Europe. Some of them couldn't make because of certain issues, you know, visa issues, stuff like that. But point is that we're working towards Europe, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Hopefully we'll see that come in the future then. So, yeah. So what's coming up in the nearer future then for Voice of the Soul? What are your next plans?
Well, right now we're sort of working on pushing the release, the European release. We're working a lot on putting out some playthrough videos. And we're trying to get some shows sorted out, both in the both here in the region and both elsewhere.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been focusing on right now. And that's about it right now. We're working on some new merchandise as well, so expect new T-shirts.
Great. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. Okay. So to finish off with then, would you like to leave a message for your fans and the listeners to this interview?
Yeah, if you haven't heard Catacombs yet, we're selling it on our Bandcamp page on voicesoul.bandcamp.com, and we're updating everything on our Facebook and Twitter accounts and on our YouTube as well. So if you're not connected with us there, be sure to follow us and like us or whatever it is. And yeah, and if you are interested in purchasing CDs or any of the last remaining T-shirts of our previous EP, hit us up and we'll sort something out. And we'll play in your city in the near future.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. Thank you very much for your time, Green.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.